I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio is on Play.it.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
And welcome to episode 685 of Gamertag Radio. I am Paris, and I'm here with Danny.
What up?
What's here up? With Pete.
What up?
And we have our very special guest, Deej from Bungie. Deej, thank you for taking some time to talk to us about everything Bungie and Destiny.
Always a pleasure. You know that. I was flattered when you invited me back. Always love talking to you guys. Good to be here.
Absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the show. But before we do that, because through the magic of editing, we're going to let everyone know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So, Deej, I've been racking my brain all day. I'm like, okay, how do we start this show? How do we get into this? Obviously, the Destiny 2 beta literally ended yesterday. I played it until you guys kicked me off the servers. So I'm thinking a little different approach. Instead of let's jumping into talking about, you know, the beta and just the ramp up to Destiny 2, let's go back a little more than 3 years ago. I remember myself, Danny, and Pete, we went to E3. And we knew about this Destiny game, but we didn't know what this Destiny game was. And I'm sure you guys still remember this. We went behind closed doors. We got to sit down and we played that strike, the very first strike on Earth. And I remember I looked at Pete. Pete looked at me and we threw our wallets at the screen. We said, we're all in. We're in. I get it now. I understand this phenomenon of Destiny. But my thing to you is that we're looking back. It's been 3 years that we've been playing this game, which just... It's crazy that I've still been this engaged with this game for the past 3 years. So from your point of view, from the Bungie point of view, how has this 3 years been with Destiny?
Man, it's been a journey. It's been amazing for us. We finally delivered to our community this thing that we had been dreaming about for years and talking about for years. And, you know, if you remember, the Destiny 1 beta was pretty wide open. We had to just throw open the doors to old Russia and say, come on in here, walk around. We'd been trying to talk about public events. We'd been trying to talk about shared experiences, earning rewards from the missions that you would go on, customizing your character. None of these were brand new ideas, but the unique combination of these different ideas, the way all of these different ways of playing and enjoying a game would come together into this thing that we were calling Destiny, was something that always earned us a follow-up question. When we would talk about public events, we'd say, you know, you'll be on your journey, you'll be blazing your trail to your next moment of action, and you'll be surprised by this explosive event, and then these other people will rally to your aid, and you'll fight with these people, and you'll earn some rewards, and then you'll all cast a wave to each other and jump on your vehicles and speed off to the next moment. And everybody would say, yeah, but how are you going to matchmake that? What's that going to feel like? And how am I going to be aware of these people? And how can I let them know I need help? And so eventually we just said, okay, you know what? we're having a hard time explaining this thing with words, so we're just going to send you into our alpha, we're going to send you into our beta, and we're going to say, go experience it for yourself. You know, like the Matrix. No one can be told what destiny is. You have to experience it for yourself. And at the expense of letting people know what our vision was, we kind of borrowed from the launch of the game. We mortgaged, you know, the kind of 30% of the steps that you would take on your journey in Destiny. Since then, we have let the community tell us what Destiny is. And over the course of the past 3 years, we've learned so much about what Destiny is from the Guardians that have played it, from the people that have gone into that world that we built and thrown down some roots and claimed permanent residence and built a community with each other. And I think that has been what's kept you in the game. That's kept what, you know, so many people have formed clans, or they formed bonds of friendship, or Paris, you playing with your son and having those father-son bonding moments in virtual combat. You know, I mean, everybody's got a story like that. And I tried to sort of tell people that before Destiny launched. You know, we'll talk to you about the story that we're telling. We'll talk to you about the stakes and your character. But really, your favorite character in the game is probably going to be someone on your friends list. Or your favorite story from this game is going to involve you and someone that you've come to know, like a family member or like a best friend who's going to save your life when all the chips are down and you're pretty sure the game is almost over and you're not going to wipe. You're not going to be consumed by the darkness. These people are going to fire a shot over your shoulder while you're reloading. You're going to be triumphant. You're going to get some shimmering jewel that's going to turn into a weapon when you go talk to that blue-faced bastard in the Crucible, or in the tower, rather. There's blue-faced bastards in the Crucible, too, but they're the people that choose to play Awoken. But it's been such a complex journey for us, and it has enjoyed so many different phases. You know, people who look back across these past 3 years, they can remember the Reign of Terror of the Thorn, or when they first stepped into the Prison of Elders, or the first time they put boots on the ground in the Dreadnought and started planting those transmat spikes, or when they first went to the Iron Temple and realized that Lord Saladin wasn't just a vendor for the Crucible anymore. We've expanded the boundaries of the world. We have changed the way people earn rewards. We've changed the way they manage their inventories. We've changed the way they upgrade their characters and control the exchange of light and rewards. And, you know, it's just been such a complicated evolution, and the conversation about Destiny has changed so many times. I've had to sort of change the way we talk about the game during different updates or different moments when the community was, you know, giving us their feedback and we were answering that feedback, or we were sort of didn't know what to say about that feedback. I mean, it's been a completely different experience now than it was back in 2014. That feels like a different life. That feels like a different job. I was a different person back in 2014. And now here we are, ready to pretty much do it all over again.
Well, that,
with launch of Destiny 2.
And that's the amazing thing about this game. And that's why I wanted to kind of just take this look back, because I did a funny thing a couple weeks ago. I pulled up one of my old PlayStation 4 videos, and it was from the first month that I was playing Destiny, and we were doing one of the random strikes or something. And I'm listening to the conversation I was having with my party at the time, and I'm like, this isn't even the same. We were talking about going to the loot cave. Is we're like, after we're done with this, we're going to go to the loot cave and we're going to get some purple engrams, you know, things like that. And like you said, it's those stories and those friendships that have been made over these past 3 years that is what keeps me coming back to the game. Because like you said, one of the best Destiny stories that I'll always have is my really good friend Khalif. He does a Spawn on Me podcast. Our first time beating Skolas, because it was a 2 week adventure where literally every day we were messaging, all right, what are we going to do this time? Because we can't beat that bastard. We got to figure it out. And, you know, when we finally beat him, it was like a celebration. I remember I did a lap around my house, arms were up in the air celebrating, and it was just one of the greatest things. And then, like, you bring in the evolution of my son, he came in during the Taken King. Like, he used to just sit here and just watch me all the time, and he was dying to play. And then Santa Claus, with air quotes, got him a PlayStation 4. And during the Taken King, we started playing together and he was having a great time. I realized he was this crucible savant and I jumped in his back, jumped in his backpack and we had a great time. But the one thing was I would never let him play without someone I didn't know. So he never did the raid. And ironically, and you know, the guys over at Guardian Radio, I'm good friends with them. I mentioned this to them one time and they immediately all hands on deck. Nope. He has to do the raid. Come on. We're going to get Sherpa school. We're going to get everyone. We're going to take him through the raid. And then they took my son through the raid. And, you know, now he's just a lifelong fan of the game. And now he's a part of the same clan that I'm in and they know him. They call him Junior now. And it's like, we're all this big family. And I bring it all back to this game that 3 years ago, I had no idea what it truly was going to be. And the fact that you have this advantage that it is not the same game that it was in September 2014 when we play it today, it has that ability to evolve. And the fact that you guys have listened to the community, you've listened to our feedback for better and for worse, making changes, but it's always been in the best interest of trying to improve the game and engage the community. So I just had to get that rant out because I know my co-hosts are dying to talk to. So, yeah. So I just want to thank you for that.
I think I should, Dave, this is the first time we actually have done an interview together, man.
I know.
It's the first time, right?
I've done, yeah, many gamertag radios, but never had the pleasure. So,
yeah. So now here's a little question that I have here. You know, I'm not a hardcore Destiny guy. Like, you know, P and Paris, they play this, you know, all the time and stuff. You know, I'm more of like a casual guy, you know? So what are the things that you guys have learned from the first game to get people like me to come back and play Destiny 2? Because the thing that with me was, I felt at that time, I was working really hard and I was playing a lot and I was getting, you know, weapons that wasn't even that strong, you know, compared to what P and Paris had. And after a while, I just got frustrated and I stopped playing, you know? So what are the things that your team has learned to get me back to Destiny 2 and other players too, like that, like me?
Yeah, we always had a design pillar that we wanted this game to be compatible with your life. That was one of the things that we talked about a lot in 2012 or 2013. And then, you know, Destiny came out in 2014. And I think the conversation surrounding the game was, it's a lot of fun. And you do get to create a character that becomes a legend. And there will be a community to appreciate your accomplishments. But it's hard to get there. And in certain cases, there were these, you know, memes about, you know, being forever just short of the rank cap, whatever it was at the time. You know, I keep playing the raids. I'm trying to get that last pair of boots. I'm trying to get that last auto rifle. We have taken the progression systems. We've taken that player journey and we've tried to make it a lot more accessible for different types of players. There's a lot of different ways to play Destiny 2. Once upon a time, the Vault of Glass was the only way to reach the end of your path. You know, the only way to reach the end of that warrior's journey. Now, and we've done this with a lot of different updates, but you probably felt like the game was a mile down the road and you'd never be able to catch up to the community. There have been many updates to Destiny where we basically told people all roads lead to Maximum Light. However you like to play Destiny, you want to match make into strikes, if you want to go out on patrol, if you want to play something like Prison of Elders, there's always going to be a way for you to satisfy your urge to make your character all powerful. And you're going to be able to do that in many different ways. So if all you want out of your shooter, if all you want out of your action game is a great story, I want you to drop me in a cool world. I want you to take me to cool places. I want to meet interesting characters. I want to confront amazing enemies and kill them. I want to shoot my way through some fun, explosive moments, and at the end, I want to know something about that world that I was fighting to protect, Destiny 1 tells a story that delivers on that. So you could go in, you could enjoy the story, you could wander around the destinations, you could go on a few side missions, you complete these adventures to learn more about the worlds that you're exploring or to learn more about the characters that you're going to meet along your journey. And if that experience, if that beginning to end explosive narrative is why you play games, Destiny's going to do a better job of satisfying you as a gamer. If you want to explore those worlds, dive into every secret cave and collect that treasure by killing the bosses that hold the key, Destiny will do a better job of satisfying you. If you want to jump into the Crucible and you want to play some games with your friends, there are different modes for that. There's a quick play mode. There's a competitive mode. We've taken a look at every single type of player that has rallied to the banner of our community, and we've said, what brought them here? What's preventing them from having the best possible experience? And how can we evolve this player experience further in every direction so that everybody comes away from Destiny 2 saying, that was better for the type of player that I am? Mm-hmm. There's more variety in this, more ways to play, more ways to enjoy, more ways to connect with other people that are a lot more effortless. And this is something that I'm really excited about. And you'll have to pull me off of this topic of conversation, or it's all we'll talk about on the show today. As you know, especially you on Gamertag Radio, as you know, I've been leading clans that play Bungie games for over a decade. Once upon a time, you at Gamertag Radio gave us a little accolade that we were very proud of at the time.
Yeah.
You gave us an accolade. You basically anointed us as best team community of the year for Xbox Live. And
I remember
at the time, we were like, who the hell appreciates what we do? We're just, you know, we're just being sarcastic with each other and enjoying each other's company and evolving from teammates into becoming friends and cracking a few beers on a Friday night and enjoying our games. But somebody said, what you're doing is cool, and we think it's something that other people should aspire to do. And, I mean, that was a lot of fun for us. So I have always come to games as a platform for me to interact with my buddies. But not everybody has that type of friends list in Destiny. So in Destiny 2, what we can do is we can open up our fire teams when we're going on a raid or when we're embracing endgame activity, and we can say we need a reinforcement or two. We need somebody to come and join us in that space so that we can take you on this adventure with us for one mission, for one activity. You're a member of our fire team. Not a member of our clan, but you can come and join us, and we will guide you through this really tough experience. You know, much like the fellas did for Paris's son. And that's one of the things that we're doing with Destiny 2 is Lone Wolves, who said, I'm not going to some website and introducing myself. I'm not raising my hand on the internet and saying, I need help. I mean, that's a barrier to entry. It takes a lot of courage, it takes a lot of humility, and a very thick skin to present yourself to total strangers on a discussion board and say, who wants to help me do this thing I can't do? So we're going to make the game a little bit more welcoming to the solo player. We'll tell them a great story. We'll give them a chance to jump into public events with people they've never met before. But once it's time to really ascend to the mountaintop, you're going to be able to find your Sherpa in the game through this feature that we call Guided Games. And the people who are in the clans get to be the VIP. You know, we are the people who are going to lead you on your adventure, but you will have access to us, and you'll be able to browse a whole directory of people who have a motto or who have a banner that speaks to you for whatever reason. And you can just sort of page your way through that stuff and say, I don't want to play with these guys. They sound way too hardcore. I don't want to play with these guys. They sound way too sarcastic. And then I'll find a friendly, humble bunch that, you know, maybe has a funny joke in their bio, and I'm going to pick those dudes, and they're going to take me on my first raid. And I'm really looking forward to the fact that you'll find that functionality in the game so that you too can become the ultimate hero in this world, and the social bonds that really make that possible are going to be a lot more easy for you to form without having to put your controller down and reach for a second screen that you're going to use to try to make friends on the internet.
Now, to Pete, I know you want to jump in, but I want to make sure I ask Deej this question. Can you remind everyone that's listening to this or watching this right now on Twitch the statistic that Luke Smith gave at the reveal about the number of people that have actually been able to complete the raid or even jumped into a raid? It was a ridiculously low number. I think it was it less than 50% of the population, something like that? No?
I can jump in on that.
Yeah.
Basically, it's even less than that. 50% of the population means that half of the people that picked up Destiny finished a raid. It was half of the people that reached the rank the level cap.
That's what it was.
Half of the people that reached level 20, which means you played all the way through the campaign, you reached the final mission, and then you reached the point where you actually unlocked the raid. So it's, you know, we didn't have a 50% success rate. 50% of the people that qualified for it were successful. Now, that's still a lot more people than we ever thought would play a raid. The raid was designed sort of a one percenter type of
activity. Really? That's interesting. Really? That's interesting. That's
very surprising.
Yeah, very surprised to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, when Luke used to talk about the raids, I used to tell him, well, I'll just do that once so that I can tell the community I did. You know, I'll bribe my clan to drag me through by the ankles, you know, just screaming the whole way, you know, like the final scene in Hacksaw Ridge. I'll just sit on the blanket and they can drag me through. And you know, the raids became such a fundamental component of the weekly ritual in Destiny. Many more people embraced that content that we thought, and it really was a product of the community. I think people who have done everything there is to do in Destiny love nothing more than being there when someone discovers those things for the first time.
Absolutely.
Like, oh my God, you've never done that? Can I be there in the moment when you do that for the first time? Because it's like what's my favorite movie? Like Shawshank Redemption. If Shawshank Redemption comes on TV, I've seen it a million times. But if I find somebody in my life who has never seen Shawshank, I'm like, come over, let's watch Shawshank. You need to be introduced to this movie. And I just sort of sit there looking at him at the corner of my eye. And at the end, when the poster comes away from the wall, and if you haven't seen Shawshank by now, come on. But when the poster comes away from the wall, you know, and the violin music starts to play, and they're like, oh my God, homie's getting away. It's like, man, isn't this awesome? You know, and you're exposing them to this amazing thing. And I think, you know, that has become the Sherpa culture. You know, it's like, I know the Vault of Glass backwards and forwards. I know every way to beat it. I know everywhere to stand. I know every trick in the book. But if I could take someone else through that and hear them hoot and holler when they get their first legendary drops, you know, that was the thing that kept so many people coming back to Destiny over the course of these past 3 years, are those social moments when you get to be the hero that brings someone through and helps them do these awesome things.
So speaking of, you know, favored moments, I know you've spoken about, you know, those moments where, you know, you get to talk to someone who's never experienced those things, or like your Shawshank Redemption example. What has been your favorite moment just from being, working at Bungie over, like you said, over a decade now? What has been your favorite moment when it comes to Destiny, the title?
Man, this is a story that I've told to certain select people who come through Bungie on a studio tour. Like I said, the raid was this big question mark in development. And we're being told stories by Luke that, you know, your default state is failure, and it's going to take a lot of teamwork, and it's going to take a lot of problem solving. It's going to take people communicating with each other and solving problems together. And then we reached a point where we wanted somebody who wasn't us to play it. And we had to find somebody to come in and be the test subjects. And Bungie User Research came to me and they said, can you think of a local clan that would come in and play the raid? And I said, you know, I mean, I suppose I could find a clan of people bound to like a college campus. I could go wear a Bungie t-shirt and stand on the University of Washington campus and see who walked up to me and started talking to me. But I just don't know if that's going to be the best workflow. You know, we're not going to know who these people are. I told them I have a clan that I got into the habit a long time ago of traveling to different cities together to attend LAN parties, take over a gaming lounge, or, you know, cobble together something in a hotel ballroom. You know, we would throw these really great LAN parties, and they like to, you know, move around the city together and have adventures together, which I think is why they're such good friends and still play together to this day. So I was able to sort of just activate that culture and say, Seattle LAN party guys, and you're going to come out here and you're going to participate in something that no one's ever played. And that's all I told them. And so I brought them out and we piled them into the test labs. We had three different raiding parties in one room together. And this was a clan that I had created the Play Bungie games, I guess, a decade prior at that point. You know, and this was like my pride and joy. This was my personal creative project. And the fact that I could bring that into the place where I worked and provide, you know, a service to, you know, Luke and, you know, Jason Jones and Tyson Green and all the people who came down to walk around in the test lab, because for the first time we had this clan of gamers who we had never really met before, who had never been introduced to Destiny before. And, you know, day one was just Guardian training, just flash training. You know, here's your first strike. Here's your first story mission. Look, that's an engram. That's an orb. You know, we just gave them Destiny 101. And on the second day, we said, you are now going to try and play the most challenging activity in the game. So you can imagine they were like, all right, let's do this. And so many times they have, you know, migrated together like a swarm of locusts. They love launch day. They love going into a landscape, whether it's Battlefield or Call of Duty or Halo or any of the other games that we've played, where launch day in a shooter game, in an action shooter, and everybody is maybe separated from the people on their friends list, or they're confused, or they don't understand the objectives, and a group of six or a group of eight or 16 or however many that game accommodates, or four, as in the case of the D2 beta, that goes in and puts their backs to each other and agrees to cooperate, they're going to have an amazing tactical advantage for, you know, 2 weeks or so until the internet catches up and everybody kind of learns how to be a member of that team. But to send them into the Bungie test labs and to have them beat their heads against Atheon was pretty surreal. And it was, for me, the first time as a community manager that I was able to really be useful to the creative process at Bungie. After that, there were many occasions where I was able to send people in to play the alpha, or I was able to help populate the beta. But this was early, early on in development. And I got to merge my career with my hobby in, at that point in time, the most meaningful fashion. And when I started that clan and when I nurtured that group of people to play video games, I never thought that they would be enlisted in the service of Bungie to help. And I never thought that I would be working there and sort of project managing that happening. So that was incredibly rewarding, kind of in the ether, in the very, very early, early moments. You know, since then, there have been, I mean, I've been able to travel the world. I've been able to meet people and hear their own clan stories, or have people tell me this game strengthened my marriage, or I mean, I play this game with my kid.
Didn't strengthen my marriage.
Maybe it's a matter of, you know, like, I love how close you are to your son, or, you know, whatever. Everyone has their own case study. But you know, hearing so many other people tell me stories about the fact that as a community manager, I was able to pay that forward. I was able to introduce other people into this experience of their video game, their hobby, being something of not just consuming entertainment on their own, but being able to go and do this thing in this place that gave them access to their friends. When the video game becomes a venue to hang out with the people that you love instead of this thing I do all by myself and nobody really understands me. That's what I love about Bungie games, and that's what I love about Destiny. And the fact that I've been able to replicate the experiences that I had as a player and come to Bungie and pass that on to other people is my favorite thing about my job.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Now, I got a story I have to tell because I kind of want to get your point of view on the Destiny 2 reveal that was out here in Los Angeles back in May. So I went to that event. And I got to tell this story. You probably may not even remember this, but it was a big deal to me. So I'm at the event. I was with one of my friends and we're just kind of just sitting down, taking a break from playing the game and was waiting for an interview. I was like, I left my bag with him and I go, let me go get a drink. So I go to walk. You're sitting over at a couch and you saw me and you go, hey, Paris, come over here. Da, da, da. Hey, come sit down. I come sit down. Oh, my God, that's Pete Parsons. Oh, like my heart's beating. Oh, my God, that's Pete Parsons. So then I'm talking to you two guys. I'm like, OK, this is cool. Then someone jumps over the couch and sits right next to me. I look and I go, oh, sweet baby Jesus, that is Jason Jones. You may not even remember this, but in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, just don't say anything dumb. Don't say anything dumb the entire time. And we're having the conversation talking. I was giving my impression of the, you know, the beta and the PvP and all that. And it was a great conversation. We were talking about our kids. You had to get up and leave to go do an interview. So then it's just me, Pete Parsons, and Jason Jones. And I'm talking to them. And all of a sudden I had a red flag. Paris, hit the eject button. Don't overstay your welcome. Just make up anything and get out of there. You don't want to be that guy. So I was like, oh, I gotta go. And then I left. So that's just a memory that will always live with me. And I thank you for that. But sticking on that Destiny 2 reveal, I bring it up because from your point of view, what was it like? Because I feel like, you know, there's Guardian Con, which is amazing. I know you've gone to that a few times. And obviously, when you're at E3 and Gamescom, there's always going to be a lot of different fans of Destiny. But this was kind of the, hey, let's get 500 of the most hardcore Destiny fans in the world in one place at one time. And for me, I got to basically meet some of my kind of quote unquote Destiny heroes, like True Vanguard, for example. Got to meet him, hung out with him, talking, you know, Pope Bear, who, you know, talking to those guys, just people like that. And what was it like from your point of view to be in that area and know that these are like the elite of the elite when it comes to Destiny fans across the world?
Yeah, well, and this was our own show. I had been to many shows where we were featured. I've been to E3, I've been to Paris Games Week, I've been to Milan Games Week, I've been to PlayStation Experience, I've been to Gamescom. Did I mention E3? Yes, I did. And plenty of other closed-door engagements where we're talking to people in the retail industry. I mean, I've been able to meet so many different people in so many different fascinating venues where people are talking about video games. I've really got the chance to pull back the curtain and see how this industry operates through our partnership with Activision and with the things that we do to satisfy, the appetites of our community to gather together, you know, even if it's our own PAX booth. But the gameplay premiere or the Destiny reveal event, codenamed Dre, that we kept talking about behind closed doors, was our own show. It was our own venue. We were the only game featured. It was our agenda. It was our stage. And it was something that we did to show the world we can't wait for you to play Destiny. So we're going to take over an aircraft hangar, and we're going to do that right here. And it was deeply emotional with all the work that we put into Destiny 2 and with all of the anticipation that we had for other people to come in and experience this game and to see the stories that we were telling and to see our renewed vision for what this world was and what it meant to us. And when Commander Zavala is revived and starts talking about, you know, what makes a guardian a guardian, and I have Lance Reddick sitting right next to me.
You sure that wasn't me? You sure that wasn't me? Because that happened 100 times at the event.
Waiting for that to come out. Classic. That's a classic story.
Positive that wasn't you. I'm good like that. But I'd had the chance to interview him for the pre-show of the stream. And then I was like, dude, stick around. Because he plays. I mean, yes, he's an actor and he does an important voice in the game, but he plays. He plays a lot. He plays every night, he told me. And then I looked at his player account on Bungie.net. I won't tell you what it is, but we looked him up and we're like, this guy has a lot of time in the game. And so he showed up as a performer, but also like everyone else there as a fan. And so he's sitting next to me and people are watching it and there's kind of a hush over the crowd. And then when Zavala sees those fallen vandals, you know, rushing through the city and his hand starts to crackle with arc energy. And he goes up in the air in slow motion to do the hiss of havoc and just sort of pauses there, you know, for just a split second, like Jordan before he comes down, you know, and everybody in the audience just screams like, yeah, we're going to see a fist of havoc. And he just turns to me and he just kind of looks at me and he goes, oh man, like, yeah. Do you mean, oh man, I'm a badass? Or do you mean, oh man, you guys are doing a really good job? And it wasn't even a question I could answer or have answered or a moment we could pay off. But, you know, to hear the roar of that room and to know that we were onto something good here, and to know that people were really excited for this, and when that's the reaction to all the hard work that you put into this, I mean, it was like I said, deeply emotional. You know, like welling up, misty emotional.
Hey, Adich, how was it behind the scenes once the beta came out, day one? You know, because I just love hearing stories about that. You know, the dev team probably checking out social media and all that stuff. How was it behind the scenes once the beta came out?
It was good. I mean, for the first 10 minutes when hundreds of thousands of people all tried to enter a building, if you will.
That was me.
Yeah?
That's Paris for sure. So,
Did you get some termites, Paris?
Oh, I got a lot of termites. Might have to tent my house after getting so many.
The first 10 minutes were, interesting, but it was a test. And then, our Destiny Operations Center is on the same floor as me. So I'm able to literally walk around a few corners, with the doc, we call it. So I just kept, walking around the corner going, "What's up, doc?" Be like, "We're good, man." Termite errors are subsiding. People are jumping on. And then we just watched the player concurrency report. Just, we've just got this graph, and then the big blue line just shows us how many people are playing. And it just went up and up and up and up and up. And we had the Twitch directory open in front of us. And it's tiled with all of the people who want to play the Destiny 2 beta. And they've all got that white login. All right. And then one by one, the white login screen starts getting replaced with the orange flames of the tower, and then we just watched and, kept refreshing. And then I'd say within 15 minutes, just about everybody that wanted to play and wanted to stream and wanted to send the word out into the world that the Destiny beta is live, it works, and it's fun. I mean, what more could you hope for from your beta? It's live, it works, and it's fun. Now, if we want to debate how often I get my super or what the guns feel like or the hunter's a little different and I'm not sure how I feel about that, that debate is going to, rage forever for as long as we support this game. That's what we're going to talk about. And if that's what we're talking about during a beta, that's awesome. So we were very, very happy about that. And I was ready to be triaging and running around and emergencies and what should we say about that? Can we get confirmation? What should we tweet? Really, it was a pretty chill week. And what we did was we hung out and we watched everybody enjoy themselves. And we all traded our favorite videos. And of course, there were emails flying around inside of the studio about, what's the narrative? What are they talking about? What do we want to say on the blog for the Bungie Weekly update midstream? We're listening to you. We hear your feedback. We're tracking every forum post. Please keep playing. And then we got to the point where they said, we want to extend it, and then we really want to break it hard. So, we go out and we say, all right, the farm test is over. Hope you enjoyed 1 hour on the farm. But we want you to play for just a couple more days, and they're going to meddle with the network. They're going to break something to see if they can fix it. And at one point they said, we think we're going to extend it a couple more hours. And Cosmo and I walked around the corner with these Nerf weapons that we have. We're a video game studio, so we have toys everywhere. So Cosmo and I grabbed these Nerf weapons and we walk around the corner and we're like, what's up, doc? Yeah. Like, dude, we need a couple more hours. We're like, we've been telling people all day, like 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours. And, they said, well, we want to try a few more things. And I said, well, your desire to deviate from the schedule is going to make me look like a liar on Twitter. And then one guy goes, well, you look like that every day. And so we just lowered our weapons and just walked away, with our shoulders slumped, acting like our feelings were hurt. And everybody laughed, and it was a good, fun time. So, the fact that the community managers can go and talk to the network operators and we can laugh and have moments of levity with each other, I think is all the evidence that I needed that beta served its purpose, taught us some things that we need to support the launch of the game, gave us some food for thought as we continue to support the game and go into final tuning. And however all that stuff shakes out is a conversation for another time to be led by more interested men than me, because the people who create these worlds and the people who decide how we fight there have talents and skills that I just can't comprehend.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
Well, one of the things I cannot wait for is to play Destiny on PC. One of the reasons is because I've got a bunch of WD, you know, solid state drives in my gaming computer. And yeah, I'm so looking forward to playing it. So with Western Digital, you're now able to get solid state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. So when you add the superior performance of a WD solid state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speeds so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. This is actually, I mean, I've done reboots of my computer and it takes under 20 seconds. Yes, I timed it. I'm nerdy like that. Like combined with a reliable Western Digital hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. For a limited time, Gamertag Radio listeners get 20% off Western Digital solid state drives with the coupon code WDGTR. Now, take into consideration that these are only for solid state drives. I believe it's 256 and 512 gig sizes. And this code is only available in the United States. So once again, Gamertag Radio listeners can get 20% off Western Digital solid state drives with the coupon code WDGTR. Find out more. All you got to do is go to WD.com/GTR and get your gaming and storage up to the next level.
You know, I think that, in my opinion, I think that what you guys released for the beta, it was good because it wasn't too much. Like, it was like a pretty good teaser and get ready for the game.
Yeah.
Because I felt like the first game, it was like a lot, the first beta. And I think this was what's right, in my opinion. It was perfect, I think, now, when it comes to that.
Now, I have a serious question for you, Deej. This is very serious. So, yes, as a fellow warlock, we're warlocks for life. I saw you on Twitter. And look, I'm being serious here now. I saw you on Twitter embracing the Titan life, and I have to admit,
I was flirting.
Okay,
I was getting acquainted.
Okay,
yes, it was going maybe for a handheld walk on the beach. It wasn't an embrace.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, I went for a full on affair. I had an affair with the Titan, and I pretty much played the Titan more than the Warlock. So much so, Pope Bear, if you're looking at this, I might be joining you, dude. We might not argue about warlocks anymore. I had a blast with that Titan. It was a lot of fun. And I think that's the one thing that I took from the beta. Like you said, the technical issues aside, let's talk about that after September 6th when it's actually retail. But what I took from it was I had a lot of fun with the various subclasses. I felt the variety there. I felt that it made me say, hey, of course, I'm going to main a warlock because I love warlocks, but I want to play a Titan too. I want to play a Hunter too. I want to do the Arc Strider. I want to do the Sentinel. I love the Slova Bomb. I want to do all these different things, you know? You know, we got a limited set of the weapons and everything, but I can kind of see where you guys are headed with it, and that gets me excited. I was actually very against the changes you made to PvP when I played it at the reveal and at E3. I kept going, I still want my 2v2. I want the 6v6. But getting basically a week with it and just playing control and countdown nonstop, it clicked. I go, on this map size, 4v4, I always felt like I had a chance. I always felt like I could top the leaderboard. I could be one of the better PvP players, even though I would still jump in my son's backpack when it got a little heavy. But the point was, I'm understanding what was being told to us. Like when I talked to Mark Noseworthy and he was saying, we're making these changes because we basically want to teach people, you know, the fundamentals of PvP. And like I can say, in that week, it actually clicked to me. I got it. And I love the new class features that you added, like the Titan with the barricade. And now you can do the Rift with the Warlock and, you know, Hunter, he can roll around a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think anything will replace the Warlock for me. Certainly not completely, but I can see myself spending time with both in Destiny. I can see myself wanting to be the Warlock and wanting to create those Rifts to heal or to, you know, enhance weapon performance, because right. I've always been a support player. As a clan leader, as somebody who sees myself as a coach more than a star player, I've always been interested in helping people come together and have a good tactical experience with each other. So the Warlock definitely serves that purpose. At the same time, I have played a lot of hardcore Search and Destroy in Call of Duty in my time. You know, can't live on one game alone. I think that's very important for anybody who's a hardcore gamer and that's their main hobby. It's good to try other things. There's plenty of people at Bungie who try other things. You may even see some motivations or even homages to some of the other games that we love in the way we designed experiences for people. But as a hardcore search and destroy player from many iterations of Call of Duty, I always loved having something like a mine or a claymore or a probe or something where I could set it there and know that that flank had at least some tripwire that would let me know. Right. Even if I didn't get a kill, it would let me know they were coming from that direction. So in something like Countdown, where you arm the charge and you now have to protect it, you can sort of say, okay, I got two flanks I got to defend here. I can look this way because I know I have some measure of protection that way. And as soon as I saw that was in there, I backed out. I saw, I saw the way the barricades could be used in Countdown. I didn't learn about them in the beta. That was poorly said. Really?
Yeah.
But once I saw the way they worked with playing with the guys that I have known for so long, and that unconscious tactical framework that we have together, I said that's the role that I've always served with these people on my friends list. So I went out, sped through the first mission as fast as I could and came back later on as a Titan. I did jump into the water about a dozen times trying to take that far left flank boat route.
Yeah.
To try to get to market. And people kept saying, hey, maybe don't fall in the water this time, Deech. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. The later the night goes, the more you're cracking those beers. And it's just like I'm experimenting with a new jump and I'm not 100%. And it's just like there was just like a whole pile of me under the water. I was starting to build my own island of Deeches. I think by the end of the beta, I felt really comfortable with both of them and could see myself having a raid class that was a warlock and a crucible class that was a titan, or a countdown class that was a titan and a control class that's a warlock.
Right.
It's just awesome to have all of these different options that you can experiment with and all of these different ways to play that are suited for all of these different types of scenarios that bring you together with your friends or against other players or, somebody in your chat just said, Lord Yayo, Deej drinks beers confirmed. Absolutely. When you work a job like mine, at the end of the day, you deserve daddy's little reward.
So I have a quick question. Do you have a preferred Destiny now that you know Destiny 1 has ended and we're starting to go into the early stages of Destiny 2? Obviously the beta just ended. Do you still show preference to the original, or are you excited now and showing the appreciation and love for the new one? Like,
this is going to sound like such a moment of salesmanship. Allow me to caveat in advance. I am not susceptible to the sentimentality neuron. It doesn't fire in my brain. I don't care to play the games that I was raised on. There's one of those old machines in the break room at Bungie where you can play all of these old arcade games. And I found myself playing a game that I grew up on, and I was like, yeah, this still frustrates me just as much as it did back then, and I walked away from it. So I don't play remastered titles. I don't have throwback nights to games that I stopped playing 2 or 3 years ago. I am always – my favorite thing about being a gamer is it lets you be kind of on the bleeding edge of evolution. You're always trying new things. You're always seeing what other people are capable of creating. So I cannot wait for this community to join me in Destiny 2 and to experience the things that I am experiencing with all of the other people that are playing our test builds at Bungie. That's when it will become real for me. That's when it will be actual and complete for me. I get to watch the game come together. I get to see sketches turn into early builds, and I get to see early builds turn into a playable activity, and then everybody comes together and you start bumping into your fellow Bungie teammates in public spaces or public events. But until I can take my favorite teammates, my own personal dream team from my friends list and jump into the Crucible, it's not real. The best game of Destiny that I've ever played was last Friday. And some of my favorite teammates, some of my oldest friends joined me in the Destiny 2 beta. They got their sea legs underneath them, and we were playing a binary objective attack and defend mode that was reminiscent of some of our favorite moments together as players. And to have that old chemistry, to have that old tactical understanding of each other click in a place ruled by space magic, and to be able to have that experience in Destiny with these guys, a couple of times that night, we both remarked, like, this is my favorite Destiny I've ever played. And some of the best gaming experiences that I've had personally as a gamer in a long, long time. Not to say that original Destiny never satisfied me. It did in so many really cool and new ways. But Destiny 2 has something that I like a lot better. It feels like a Bungie game as much as, you know, anything else, but reminds me of some of the Bungie titles that really made me a hardcore fan. And the gunplay feels tighter. The abilities feel more important, more critical when they're used. They require a little bit more discipline. So when someone does something awesome, it feels more impressive to me. So, I mean, I'm lucky because Destiny continues to evolve down a path that just kind of does a better and better and better job of capturing my imagination and satisfying the way I like to play. I said the same thing about Rise of Iron, just because I loved the themes of the Iron Lords and those mournful military monuments and the tributes and, you know, the drums and the cadences that really made you feel like a badass marching off to war with this regal tradition, you know, as the wind at your back. And now with Destiny 2, to send people out to new worlds and all of the different ways to just patrol and dive into caves and go on adventures with other people. It's really evolving in a way that has something for me and hopefully something for everyone. Hopefully something for Godfrey. You know, anybody who's super hardcore, somebody who's super casual. You know, the people who we lost on the first go of it are the people that we want to say, you know, like, stick around for a while. This community could be awesome for you. Or maybe you just enjoy the campaign and you walk away happy and you say, let's do that again sometime soon. We're like, cool, we'll let you know. We got a Twitter account.
Right. Now, one thing that you just brought up, which, look, I obviously don't want you to spoil it. I know you're going to know too in depth on this, but people listening, watching, and I know Bife can appreciate this, the emphasis on Destiny 2 on a story and actually telling that lore, because the one thing about Destiny, again, if you're a hardcore fan, you've gone into the Grimoire cards, you've gone to Reddit and all these websites to understand that there's really just this big, giant, just universe of characters and legend and everything that goes with Destiny that just simply was not told in the game. So, right. So I would assume that this is being remedied going into Destiny 2.
We are investing a lot more in telling the story in the game. It's even something that motivates the decisions we make. We never want you to have to put down your video game controller and reach for your laptop or your smartphone so that you can understand the alien that you just killed for the first time. That's not the dream of the Destiny player experience. We want a game that tells its story to you while you blast your way through its environments. We want characters in these worlds to expose you to the new things that you should do. And the fact that we have a map in there, you know, if you're a casual player and you found yourself wondering, what do I do next in Destiny? We now have a map that you can pull up. And, you know, we didn't invent maps in video games, but we have taken it and made it relevant to the way the Destiny player experience unfolds. And we can mark new things on that map. And the more you play, the more the world sort of opens up in front of you and gives you new things to go and do and try. And all of these things will give you a deeper understanding of the world that you're exploring or the allies that you're aiding in their struggle. Commander Zavala is not some stoic dude with his arms crossed who stands in the tower waiting to give you a new helmet for something awesome you did. He's in the fight with you. Right. He's fighting for his very survival right alongside of you. You know, Ikora Rey is not down in the Hall of Guardians contemplating the mysteries of the Traveler. She is also in a world without light contemplating what does it even mean to be a guardian if we don't have these mystical powers granted to us by this enigmatic celestial anomaly that hovers over the city like this dead moon. There's so many things that we're doing to satisfy those curiosities about the world that the player inhabits, and we don't send you off to read your smartphone when you should be enjoying a great moment of action with your friends to understand all of it. For the lore community, this will be an adjustment. At first glance, you know, they're losing their grimoire, and right, that has been the basis for so much of their interaction. But what I've said to people like Bife is that a game that does a better job of telling a story to more people is only going to better serve the lore community. Mm-hmm. A community of people who understand the story of Destiny because they played the game are going to be more interested in the lore content that you create, because not everybody made it to those grimoire cards. Not everybody that played Destiny stopped what they were doing to make their way to Bungie.net to read. People want the story delivered to themselves while they're looking down the barrel of the gun. That's the vantage point they want when they get their story. Like this, not
right,
like...
Right.
Right.
You know, and I know that I'm hemorrhaging some crucial elements of the radio format. I hope you don't mind, Godfrey. I'm playing...
That's all right. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So, DJ, I know before we start recording, I know you mentioned that you guys are going to Gamescom. And my question is, like, how hard it is, like, I know sometimes you don't want to reveal too much, but you guys are getting closer to launch. So what, I mean, the things that you could talk about, like, what is it that you guys are planning to do to show over there at Gamescom?
Nothing I can say.
Nothing, okay, cool. All right. Yeah, no, because you know what it is? I feel like it's just like, as a developer behind the scenes, it's pretty tough, man, because I know you don't want to show too much, especially a game like this, like for E3 and something. So how what is it that you guys decide, like, okay, let's show this, let's show that, it's not too much? Is it more of like the multiplayer portion, or you want to show a little bit of the story? Like, what is it that you guys, what, I mean, you know, it's pretty hard to do that, you know, right, behind the scenes?
Surprise and delight is what Luke Smith keeps telling us. The game should have the capacity to surprise and delight you. So the things that we revealed at the gameplay premiere have really served us well all summer long. We've given people a taste of the first story mission. Does Destiny tell a good story? We hope the first story mission answers that question. Yes. Is Destiny still fun to play with your friends? The strike gives people a taste of cooperative gameplay. Is Destiny a game that lets me feel competitive and fires up that competitive spirit in the heart of my belly? The answer is yeah, if you go into the Crucible. So we can give every player, every different type of player, some signposts to say that there's something better in this sequel for you. And we continue to welcome more and more players into those moments. You know, depending on, you know, what we decide to do, am I just going to Gamescom, or is all of Bungie just going to Gamescom? You know, that still remains to be announced. I'm actually probably in trouble because I said Gamescom. I'm in the process of planning for it. Yeah. And I'm excited. So you caught me.
That's cool.
Caught me in a rare moment of shakeability, and I revealed something that I was going to announce on the blog tomorrow. So let's hope that copy gets approved and all is well.
All right.
But I personally will be in Germany, and that's all I can tell you. The goal for us, obviously, is to entertain. And if we've told you everything about the experience before you get to play, we set ourselves up to fail. So we want to set your expectations as to what type of game it is, what experience you're going to have there. To your point earlier, the beta was a great vehicle for giving people a sense of what type of game Destiny is, but still give the game the ability to tell you its story and to surprise you and to have those moments where, you know, you discover something and it's shocking, and now I have to fight my way through this thing and, you know, regroup. And, you know, it's just that's what the entertainment experience should be about. And the desire on our part, especially my part, to make the community happy, to serve that conversation, to keep people coming back to Bungie.net, is to sort of, you know, like feed out one new detail every week to keep people coming back. And I think that could be one of the mistakes that I made as a community manager back in 2013 or 2014, is wanting to say, this week, here's what I'll tell you about Destiny. And really, the blog for us has become a lot more like air traffic control. Mm-hmm. Like right now, you should be looking forward to E3. Or right now, you should be looking forward to the beta. Or right now, you should be looking forward to whatever happens after the beta. And mm-hmm. I'm publishing another blog article tomorrow. So mm-hmm. you can come back and you can read, you know, what are the next waypoints that we're plotting on the horizon? So taking people through the road to launch almost feels like playing the game. Here's the next activity that we all have to sort of, you know, solve together. And the content creators in our community can come together and they can interpret that news and they can sort of translate it for their own audiences. Somebody who speaks to a hardcore Crucible audience is going to interpret the news in a much different way than mm-hmm. somebody who talks to a very imaginative lore-based audience. And the fact that we have those people in the community to help us bring every type of player to launch is, you know, a wonderful luxury for me as somebody who writes that blog.
Can I say one more thing? Can I say one more thing, Paris?
No, Danny, it's my turn.
Very quick. Deej, I'm definitely gonna try out and play Destiny 2 this time. And this game reminds me a lot of like a Phantasy Star Online, because that was like one of my favorite games from back in the days and stuff. So it reminds me of that. Like, it reminds me like the community working together, trying to do quests together and everything. So I'm definitely going to give it a chance this time, because I felt like you guys did a better job with the beta. You guys didn't give too much information. So I'm going to go and play this like totally surprised. I don't want to read anything or see any videos. And one of the things I did mention to Paris and Pete, I want to try out the raids for the first time, just as a surprise, no spoilers, you know? So, and I think that's like a different experience once you do that, not knowing anything, just you discover it at the moment with your friends, you know? So I'm definitely going to give it a chance for sure.
That's what so many people who have played the raids say. Their favorite thing about it is going in blind.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Figuring it out for themselves. Mm-hmm. And as much as there are people who can, you know, would say, hey, you know, like, satisfy my curiosity for information and tell me something about the raid when I come out and say, there's no way we're talking about the raid. There are plenty of hardcore raid masters who are just sort of in the background, silently nodding their heads like, don't you dare tell me anything about that raid. And the fact that we've been able to shroud those things in mystery and have the first day of a raid, when it becomes available, be almost like this land rush. We love to eventize it. We love to, you know, create the perception that everybody's lined up like this endless horde of marathon runners, you know, and we hold that starting pistol aloft over our heads and a little whiff of smoke carried away by the wind, and then everybody's trying to see who can be the first person to finish that raid, because that we know we're going to make sure everyone knows their name. So it's not just a battle against the final boss. It's a battle against the entire community to see who can riddle me this and shoot their way through and be the first person to claim those rewards. You know, I've been on my cell phone standing next to Bungie User Research, you know, saying like, I got Prime Guard on the line. They say that they are the first clan to beat the Vault of Glass. Can you confirm? You know, I'm like, yep, you guys did it. You know, and you can just hear them all shouting with each other in the background. And it's like, hang up. It's like, time to write a blog article. time to help those guys become legend, as we like to say.
Well, see, that's the one thing. I'll touch on the raid a second before I ask my other question really quick. I say it all the time whenever I'm asked about it, people that don't play Destiny go, what's the appeal? Why do you keep coming back to this game? Why do you play it for 3 years? The first thing I always say is the people. That's why I keep coming back, because of the great community. But the second thing I say is the raid is the greatest co-op experience I've ever had on a console. To get six people communicating and having to work as one is amazing. It's one of the most satisfying things that you can do in gaming. And it's something that you don't want to spoil, because you want people to actually, like we say, go in blind, figure it out as a team, and you'll be way more satisfied doing that way. Which kind of brings me to my next point. the content creators, you know, obviously people like More Console, Mesa Sean, Datto, people like that. Taking this back full circle to in the beginning of the 3 years when none of us knew what this was about, and we've seen this generation of content creators basically build careers around this game, around this community. How much have they helped you as a community manager be able to tell your to tell the community about Destiny and to what's the word I'm looking for? Get that story and get that message out there to the masses.
It's our most prized asset. I think if you were to ask a lot of the people at Bungie, they would even tell you that we make games, but the game is almost a means to an end. What we want to do is build worlds that inspire people to come together and be friends with each other. And a world like that, a community of that size, needs interpreters, or needs almost like a representative government.
Right.
And when those people can represent their audiences. You know, I have hundreds of thousands of people who are tweeting directly at me personally, as does Cosmo every day.
Yeah.
You know, we like to joke around that there's this like fun zone on Twitter where you're underneath that ceiling. You can just sort of do and say whatever you want because I'm just having fun. But when you serve the Bungie community and you have that many people who are following you, nobody cares what I had for lunch. Nobody cares what I'm doing or whether or not I'm walking my dog. They follow me because they want news and information about this game. And I can't parse what they're all saying at the same time. But if I have a sense of what Bife's audience is talking about, if I have a sense of what Triple Rec's audience is talking about, or you know, Datto with his sensitivity to player mechanics and the intricacies of the player progression and the player experience, or you know, any of the people in our community who are streamers or YouTubers or podcasters or just lead a clan with a lot of members, they are all people who can say, everybody who I talk to, everybody who's talking to me is saying this. And when we have all of these people to represent the different voices and the different types of players in the community, it creates another layer of understanding. And when we know them, we can then understand all the people that are in those audiences. And even very early on, when I started writing the Bungie Weekly Update, and when I sort of picked up the mantle of that, it's like, okay, this Bungie blog that I've been reading for years is now mine to write. And I have to find a voice to speak for these hundreds of creators and developers. And when I put that stuff out there, that's when I discovered More Console.
Right.
More Console, you know, until we really fired things up and equipped him with the ability to create his own content, was reading mine up on YouTube. And as somebody who did a lot of theater in college and studied the classics, I loved the fact that I had this enthusiastic British person reading my copy on the internet.
Right.
It was amazing. You know, it was like, hello, my friends, new information about Destiny. It sounds like they're on the right track. And I was like, this is great. And somebody stopped by my desk one day and they're like, how do you feel about these YouTubers that just read your blog on the internet? I was like, well, that's not all they do. They don't just do that, but it's awesome. I mean, for people that don't want to read a blog, for people that want to get their information on the internet, for people who want to have it read to them and combined with different graphics and have a little bit of analysis, here's what Deej is talking about. 3 weeks ago, Deej said this, and now he's hinting that they're going to follow up with that, and to see them connecting the dots and treating the campaign that led us to the launch of Destiny like this investigative report that they were updating every single week was absolutely fascinating. And if you think that I haven't changed my writing style to play into that, you know, I've changed the way I compose paragraphs because I know people like to screenshot them and tweet them. And every time I write the article, I think this right here, this paragraph, this is the money paragraph. This is the one that they're screenshotting right here. So
I may or may not have done that.
Well, and any entertainer, whether they're a raid designer or whether they're a world builder or whether they're a blogger, needs to understand their audience. And the community leaders, the content creators in the Destiny community have helped us to understand our audience, and they've made me thus better at what I do. I like to say, at least through the equation that I used to factor in my own success, if I understand who I'm talking to, I can plan better around saying what they need to hear. And the people that I've had relationships with for years now who have their own constituencies that they manage have been instrumental to that process. Absolutely irreplaceable.
Well go ahead, Pete. I'm sorry.
One of the things that, you know, we love about you personally is that, you know, your ability to gather community, because you've done it for so long and you do it well. One of the questions I'd like to know is, because community is so important, especially when you're building a new environment and not as new with Destiny, obviously you've got a couple of years, and it's something that Bungie does well, but how hard is it to defend the decisions, and what do you do to step away from the negativity? Because it is there.
You never step away from the negativity. What you do is you look past the negativity at the truth. Mm-hmm. I prefer a well thought out, composed argument on our feedback form. I'll give him a shout out. There's a guy in our feedback form by the name of Lost Souls. Souls spelled like stars, like S-O-L-S. Interesting play on words there. And when Destiny first launched, this guy was our staunchest critic. You know, he would just rip us to shreds, just flame us out. And he was creating a culture of brutal, honest feedback on the feedback form. This guy was at Dre. He had drinks with Pete Parsons. You know, never thought that we would ever meet this guy in person, or that right. we would convert him to somebody that would want to come and have drinks with us. But because we, you know, never banned him for telling us we were idiots, or never muted him because he was telling us something that made our day difficult or that we didn't want to hear, we were able to learn about how we could make a Destiny a better game for the people that were upvoting his threads on our forum or replying to him and saying, this is exactly how I feel, but you did a much better job of stating it. Now, that's the best way to get feedback. It's somebody who takes their time to explain themselves, even if they're not happy. There's a lot of profanity that you can find on Twitter. There's a lot of, you know, grandstanding or attention seeking that you can find, you know, in a place where everyone's aware of each other. Mm-hmm. But if you can look through this theatrics, if you can get past the vitriol, what you have is somebody who finds your product to be important enough to take time out of the middle of their day to tell you how they feel about it. And if you're not willing to listen to that, you shouldn't be engaged in community. And if you're not engaged in community, but you're a creative or entertainment, you're just depriving yourself of your best asset, which is intel on who's going to experience the thing that you're creating. So you don't take it personally.
Right.
You don't amplify the people who are being meanest to you. You can certainly create examples for other people to follow by saying, this person is giving me feedback I can use, and it's expressed in a way that resonates with other people. Constructive criticism is vital to the evolution of anything, which is what I just stole from the legend.
Yeah, I saw it too. Yeah.
In funny. Your chat room. Yeah. This is so easy. I feel like I have a teleprompter right here. you know, give a man a brush and he can, and then they lose me in a sea of emojis. But yeah, I mean, it's and I'm not going to say it's easy. I mean, there were moments throughout the evolution of Destiny where I would make a mistake and communicate something in the wrong way, and I would just kind of come home at the end of the day and say, I think it's safe to say I've got about maybe 2.7 million people who are really mad at me right now. And then there are other days when we launch new content and everybody says, wow, you listened. This is so much better, just like you said it would be. You know, you live for both days. There are the days you learn and the days you triumph, and they need each other.
Absolutely. So I know we need to wrap this up. You've been on here far too long at this point. We really appreciate this, but I got to ask you this just to follow up on that. So as a community manager, you've obviously gone through the ups and downs of Destiny in the last 3 years. Have you reached out to any other community managers of other games that may or may not have gone through similar struggles?
Yeah, sure. I actually have a group of people right here in the Bellevue, Seattle area. There is a sense of community among people that work in community. Mm-hmm. And we get together for drinks. We'll get together and have dinner. We'll have a few drinks. There's a meetup about once a month on Friday. You know, people who work for other developer studios, people who work for publishers, people who, you know, there's a lot of game industry biz in the surrounding area. And I've come to know and become really good friends with other people that also manage community. And to be able to, raise a glass, and toast the awesome thing that we get to do for a living, and then maybe trade a few war stories, maybe commiserate, or maybe say, yeah, I saw your stream too. It was awesome. That stuff's important. I think, anybody who does a certain thing for a living wants to be able to talk to other people who understand their challenges, and they can swap some best practices, and they can learn from each other, or they can just appreciate each other in certain ways that somebody who doesn't really understand what you do for a living can. And I'm really fortunate that in this part of the world, there are a lot of people engaged in this sort of thing, that is awesome and so deeply important to the people that enjoy it. And, puts me in proximity to so many talented artists and designers and people who can see the world through a cloud of math. It's just, it blows my mind. And to be able to talk to other people about those challenges and understand the role that we play as the people who hook up the player and make them feel like the superhero. I'm always telling my fellow community managers, strive to be Alfred. Don't make the mistake of thinking you're Batman, because that is what leads a community manager to horrible, fiery ruin. But to be able to have these conversations with other people has been great for me, because I like my gig. It's not group therapy. It's just a sense of community with people who also have the enormous pleasure of representing a group of talented people, more talented than me, that creates something awesome that happens to be really important to millions of people.
Well, Deej, I want to end it this way. PAX, can you tell us anything about PAX as far as Bungie? Because I know that's literally the weekend before Destiny 2 launches. Are you guys got anything planned for that?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, we will be at PAX. We're going to have our own theater. So
theater.
Just off the main campus at PAX. You'll find us in the Paramount Theater all weekend long. We're calling it the Destiny 2 Experience. And I will commit to exactly what that will be, but we will have our own building where we can create our own moments. And even if it's just people knowing that there's a place where they can come together and there'll be plenty of room for them to congregate together, I'm hoping that somebody steps into that environment as a lone wolf and walks out as the newest member of a clan before the end of the weekend. That's my bar for success. Everyone else has what they want to be achieved there. We're going to make sure that every type of player can walk into that building at PAX and feel like they had some awesome moment that acquainted them just a little bit more with the thing that they really love to do.
That is awesome, man. I hope I get to actually be there and take part in that. So let's wrap this up. Again, you've been more than generous with your time, so I want to thank you again. Danny, Pete, before we get out of here, any last words for Deej?
No, I just want to say thanks, Deej. Yeah. I know you guys always been supporting us since day one, man. So just want to say thanks, man, for coming on the show.
Means well, you found me first.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true, man.
I want to second what they said. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, just not just for tonight, for all of the other opportunities that you've given us as a site. You guys are always accommodating, and go out of your way to make sure that we feel special and wanted when it comes down to reaching out to Bungie. So from us, as show hosts or whatever, from the mods on the chat today, going out of their way to try to keep this civilized in some way, shape, or form, and to the viewers that we've gotten, to the viewers and everything, just thanks.
Dude, the pleasure is all mine. We always have a great conversation when we talk, and it's interesting how you, just like the community, you guys all have your own interpretation of what Destiny means to you and why you come to it or why you don't, and why we need to do certain things better to, kind of win your heart or win your mind or whatever. So, it's always fun to talk to you guys. And if we're ever in the same building, let's do it again.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So, all right, everyone on Twitch, thank you guys for hanging out. Everyone listening, thank you. This has been episode 685 of Gamertag Radio. That's Danny. I know. Danny, Pete, I'm Paris, and Deej. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.